We're going to start the meditation in a moment here. I want to let you know that right after that, Leo is going to sing a song he did a few months ago that David Friedman and Paul Rolnick wrote for us coming out of the pandemic and back into the world. And then he's going to close with another song of David's that is pretty wonderful. So what do you say we go ahead and have a meditation here? Take a breath. We're going to do an open eye meditation today. We did it last month, and I liked it so much. It's something I like to do. I like to light a candle, and I just keep my eyes open, and I look at that candle. If I weren't talking, I would suggest to you that you count to four. But I'll be talking. So I encourage you to take a breath, and let's go like this. Easy intake through the nose and the outtake through the mouth. And the next intake, send your consciousness highest, up to the highest point of your being. Up to the highest point of your being. And up at the highest point, I always like to affirm, the Christ in me is awake now. The Christ in me is awake now. The memory of God in me is awake now. The superconscious mind in me is awake now. So as you see the flickering flame, I'm going to take the thought here right now. The Christ in me is awake now. If you want to, won't you join me in saying, the Christ in me is awake now. And feel an expansion at the highest point of your being, an expansion of consciousness, an expansion of the realization of God active and present in your mind, in your body, and spreading out through your life. The Christ in me is awake now. See the flickering light, reminding you of the light that you are. Reminding you of all the beings of light. And that light is here, within and around us always. So we're going to take a moment in the silence to go all the way in as we keep our eyes focused on the light. The Christ in me is awake now. The memory of God in me is awake now. The memory of life in me is awake now. The memory of love, presence, intelligence, power is awake in me now. The Christ in me is awake now. Let's go on in as we watch the flame. The Christ in me is awake now. Life in me is awake now. And because life in me is awake now, today I choose life and I choose it more abundantly in my mind, in my body, in my work, in my play, in my relationships, in my money, in my home, on the very ground that I walk, I choose life. And I choose it more abundantly. And so in that commitment, in that realization and in that awakened memory. Let's start our journey back here. Back to this sanctuary called place that we say thank you.
We've been living life apart. We felt hopeless and depressed, with a song deep in our heart that had no place to be expressed. But a brand new day is dawning, as at last we find our way. On this bright and glorious morning, it is finally time to say, let the music play, let our voices soar, starting now today and forevermore. We've come through the night, we have found our way. Time is right, let the music play. With the voices we've been hearing, saying help is on the way. And so many of us fearing we would never see that day. We're beginning to break through now, no more need to stay inside. As these promises come true now, and our hearts can open wide. Let the music play, let our voices soar, starting now today and forevermore. We've come through the night, we have found our way. Now the time is right, let the music play. Let it ring throughout the nations, let our stages burst with song. Let us fill our empty theaters and put music, love, and life and laughter back where they belong. Let the music play, let our voices soar, starting now today and forevermore. We've come through the night,
yay. Thank you, Leo. Thank you so much. Thank you, David Friedman and Paul Rolnick, for your inspiration this season. I just want to warn you now, my internet is a little wonky today, and I don't know exactly why. So if something gets too, we'll just sign out and sign right back in, or I will. I'll sign right out and sign right back in. Leo's taking care of us here. So if it gets a little choppy, we'll just deal with it, because God is God no matter what, and love is love no matter what. So my talk today is called Sow the Seeds of Life. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Because I thought, what's the difference between sowing and planting? You know, you plant seeds, you sow seeds. And sowing seeds simply means scattering them where they have a chance to germinate, as it were. Then this could be outdoors on bare ground or indoors. In seed starting trays. So keep that in mind. So sowing, metaphysically, every thought is a seed. Let's look at it this way. Every thought is a seed and brings forth after its kind. So every carnal thought or thought of selfishness in any form is seed sown to the flesh. It brings forth error and builds up flesh consciousness. The fruit of this sowing, well, I love how the our antecedents say, is death and corruption. Now, every spiritual thought is a seed sown to the spirit. Spiritual thoughts feed and nourish and build up the spiritual man. The result is life and immortality to the whole being, spirit, soul, and body. So we like that, don't we? And so to sow the seeds of life, you know, so that we may be consciously choosing life and life more abundantly. So, for instance, if you want health, you must sow the seeds of health, which means you talk about health. You don't talk about sickness. And some say, well, I have sometimes to my doctor, I have to. And I say, I don't know that that's true. I haven't told this story in a long time. There was a woman I knew in a minister who she was in ministerial school at Unity Village back when I was taking CEP classes, now SEE. But it was CEP back then. She was good friends with our friend Erica Trantham, best friends, really. And they were in the same class. And her name's Terry, and she wrote a book, and I couldn't tell you what that name was called. The book is called Now, and I'm not sure where Terry is. I think she's in Oregon. But she was training for the Olympics when she, in her, you know, teens, early 20s. She was training for the Olympics, and she was great. She was a runner, and she had a car accident, and it paralyzed her. And so she was in the hospital, and she couldn't walk, and it was really destructive to her body and then her mind and her spirit. And finally, one day, her coach came in and said, do you want to walk again? And she said, well, I would love that. And he said, no, do you want to walk again? And she said, yes. And he said, fine. From now on, nobody comes in this room to talk about anything other than you walking again. If there is any friend, any family member, any nurse, any doctor, anybody who talks against you walking is not allowed back in this room. Your focus now is on walking. And she committed. And she told people, you can't come in unless we're going to talk about me walking. There's no trying to face facts that we're not walking. I'm going to walk again. And when I met her at Unity Village, her x-ray said that she couldn't walk. She said, there's something pinched together in her back that says she can't walk. Now, I saw her running around the village in high heels. So she walks. She walks every day of her life for many, many, many years now, despite what x-rays say, despite what a doctor might say, she walks. So is there something you want? Is there something you truly want? Well, then you need to live your life as if it is already here. And that's sowing the seeds, you know, where they need to land in order to manifest what it is you want to manifest in your life experience. You know, we're taught to prove God now as in regards to tithing and what have you in Malachi 3:11 there. And so to prove God in your thinking, in your, you know, are you tithing your thinking to wellness? Are you tithing your thinking to prosperity? Are you tithing your thinking to harmony in your relationships? Are you living your life in order to live well, as opposed to, well, I'll live well once everything outside of me changes here? No, you got to live well from the inside, and then you will see the outside change. Britt called me a manifester, and I am. I'm a good manifester in so many ways. And it's because I applied these principles, quite frankly. I mean, I guess I was a manifester before, but when I heard about these principles, I manifested a lot of stuff I didn't want either. I manifested a lot of the carnal stuff I just read about. And my flesh was failing as a result. My mind was failing as a result. And then one day I heard, oh, you don't have to do that, Sean. You can have a great life. Look at, if it's got a name, somebody else has done it. And so I started looking at the people who were having this great life, who had lived a life, many of them far worse, I considered, than what I had lived. And they had life. They had families. They had children. And that's not what I wanted. But they did. And they really were manifesting what it is they wanted. And so I thought, well, I guess I can do it too. How do you do it? And I would talk to them and they'd say, well, I prayed this way. And I started thinking this way and I read these books and I started talking about this instead of this. And life began to evolve and develop for them. So I did the same thing. I began to pray in earnest instead of fearfully, because that's how I used to pray. I pray, you know, just enough to get to sleep at night, because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to sleep if I didn't do this quick little prayer that I used to do. And And then I started my healing journey, and somebody said, actually, Sean, get down on your knees and pray every day. And I thought, I've never prayed on my knees in my life. Why would I do that? That just seems so religious and religiously controlling. But I was desperate. I was that unhappy that I was willing to try what these people told me. And so I got down on my knees. So I used my bedside at a small apartment, and it was most comfortable there to get down on my knees and lean on the bed. And I memorized this prayer. It's called the third step prayer in the 12-step fellowship, but it's a great prayer. It says, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Well, my life was different. My life was radically different the very next day. And I mean radically. I'm not making this up. I knew things the next day that I didn't know before. And I'm very impressed by that. I'm still impressed by it. And it's like, okay, fine. I'm going to do it every day. And for many years I did it. And I'll be honest, I don't do it every day anymore. And I wish I did, because my life was better when I did. My willingness was far more open, and it's one of those things I've got to get back into the commitment of. Why would I pass up an amazing life because I got lazy, I got into a relationship, because whatever, I forgot. And yet, but I know the difference, and that's what I'm here to tell you. I know the difference. I began every day choosing life and choosing life more abundantly. Now, I'm going to read a passage here from Mark chapter 4 in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it's very close to what the traditional Bible is. But let's read this here. And it says, Jesus was out about to give a talk out there. And I had left because he says, Jesus found himself by the lake with a crowd of people seeking physical healing. He asked of his disciples to prepare a boat, and he stepped into it so he could move away from the shore. From there, he was able to talk to the crowd, because with him a short distance away, they quieted down to listen. And it says here, Jesus knew that the people had not come to hear the good news. Remember the first time I read that passage? Jesus knew they had not come to hear the good news, and yet it was the good news that he yearned to share. You know what that good news was? That they were one with God. That all good was possible. Jesus bowed his head to give the circumstance to the Holy Spirit. He gave his willingness to do whatever Spirit would have him do. He was willing to go back into the crowd. He was willing to speak from the boat. He was willing to leave this place at once. When he had finished giving over all he thought to the Holy Spirit, he lifted his face, opened his mouth, and these words came out. So you see, Jesus didn't say, of myself, I am everything. He didn't say that. He said, somewhere in there, he said, of myself, I am nothing. So he also had a relationship with what he later called the Comforter. Today we'll call it the Holy Spirit. And so he was willing to pass along this information. See, they didn't want the good news. They just wanted a healing. Well, don't we all? Don't we all want a healing without having to change our mind, without having to change our behavior, without having to change, that we still want to gossip and criticize and complain about our health while having a healing? We want to have prosperity while crying poverty, while maintaining an old poverty consciousness. And you think, no, I don't. And it's like, really? Explore it. Look at it. And just pay attention to your daily conversation. Pay attention to the stories you tell yourself. Pay attention to the stories you tell your pets. Pay attention to the stories you tell your neighbors and your friends, and especially yourself. What are you saying? While you say you want a healing, while you want to know wholeness, what are you saying in your mind? And if it's not bringing about the health you want, the well-being that you want, if it's not bringing about the good news, you got to switch. You just got to switch. Interrupt it. You may be so miserably uncomfortable for a bit, but that's just a bit, I promise. So we're going to move on here. And so he went on and said, listen, he said. I always imagine Jesus talking with a tone of irritation in his voice. I don't know why, but I do. So there was a long quiet pause, and then he continued with an authority in his voice that had not been heard before. A farmer went out to plant his fields, and this farmer lovingly planted his seed everywhere, for to him all soil was worthy of seed. And that's an important note. All soil was worthy of seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. This soil is worthy, he thought, but as the seed lie, birds came and ate it up, so that no plants spread there. Some seed fell on rocky soil. This soil is worthy of this seed, the farmer thought. The soil there was rich, and plants sprouted quickly, but the soil was not deep, so as the sun grew hot, the plants withered and died. Some seed fell among the thorns. This soil is also worthy, the farmer thought, but the thorns choked the plants and they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. This soil is likewise worthy, thought the farmer, and the plants grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. Goes on to say, let him who has ears hear. This is the message of our Lord. You choose which soil you shall be. Not which soil you have, but which soil you shall be. We are the soil for the seeds of spirit. So Jesus left the crowd by boat as they discussed this strange parable among themselves. The apostles were also puzzled, for the parable made no sense to them. And they knew their master had many good words. He could have shared. And he said, they did not come to hear my words. They came for healing. All healing is of the Holy Spirit, so I gave myself to Spirit that I may be used. And it was Spirit's words you heard through me. I saw the image of my mind, and I described it as I saw it, and the apostles still did not understand. Listen, Jesus said in love, let me tell you fully what I saw. God is the farmer. God loves all of its children. God's children may look at one another and see differences, but the Heavenly Father, he calls it here, sees none. To God, we are all the same and equally worthy to know God. In this story, we are the soil. The seed is the Holy Spirit's word. So God sows the seed on all of its children alike, seeing no differences among them because all soil is worthy soil. But within our perception, there are differences. Some of the children seem like the path. They have no interest in the Holy Spirit's words, and his words does not sink into their hearts. That is the choice they have made, so we will let them go their way in peace. Some of God's children are like the soil in the rocky places. They will eagerly join us and seem to love God's word. But when circumstances seem to get tough, they will turn away because they do not seek God above all else. In its comfort, or it is comfort they are satisfied with. Anybody? It is comfort they are satisfied with. So it is temporal comfort they will continue to seek. We will let them go in peace and wish only blessings on them. Some are like soil among thorns. The words may spark some interest in them, but they are too preoccupied with the world to let it go and pursue the word. Let them go in peace, with blessings and in love. And the others are like seed sown on good soil, because they are ready for the word at this time. They will come and work with us, live like brothers and sisters with us, and join us in our work of sharing the word. Jesus settled in with joy in his heart to continue teaching the deep truths he had learned from the Holy Spirit. We must show ourselves to the people that they may see light. For the light within us is the light of heaven. It is within them too, but by seeing it within us, they will recognize that it is with them, and the light will extend within the world. In this way, and for this reason, the light must extend within you too. For as the light extends within you, it extends within the world. The apostles still didn't understand. Stupid apostles. So Jesus goes on from there, you know, to try with another example about the lamp and placing the light under a bowl or a bed to keep the light hidden. No, the light must shine. So that which is in the dark can be revealed. And that is how it is in truth. As the light shines within your mind, thoughts of darkness are revealed. Let them be revealed, that they may be given up to the light. In this way, the light of God extends throughout the world. So sowing seeds of life. What is life? But life is movement. Life is action. Life is the energy. Life is continuous energy within the mind, within the body. It is eternal. It did not start with us. It will not end with us. It did not start with the body, I should say. It will not end with the body. But let life shine in you now. Let life plant those seeds of life. Speak the words, because the good soil, it receives. So you've got to tell yourself the truth, capital T truth. And what is capital T truth? It's that which has no opposite. So we've just got to start telling ourselves the truth of being. We've got to start going through life assuming that God is present, God is active, and God is on our side, even if we are afraid, even if our bodies hurt or ache or whatever at this time, if our relationships are itchy, we'll say, if they're hostile, if they're whatever, you know, currently, that doesn't mean they have to stay that way. But I must speak the words of truth. I must speak the words of wholeness. As Britt and I were speaking earlier about, I'm so glad he brought that up, creating a world that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. And it's not creating a world, actually, that does that. It is helping to create an awareness that already exists. No one is left out of the kingdom because everyone is invited in. Now, the problem is that word speaks on rocky soil sometimes, or thorny soil, what have you. And how do we change that? We have to dig it up and turn it over to make it more fertile, more receptive, turn it into the good soil. The good soil isn't about that some are good and some are not good. All beings are good in God. Many beings are horrific in behavior. Oh, so many of us have forgot so much. And we don't have to stay forgetting. We have a life. I'm not going to sing this song today, but last week we were traveling. We were out in Palm Springs a week ago. And we went, a group of us went to an open mic night. And I haven't done that in a long time. And it was lovely. It was an outdoor patio, and people were doing their stuff. And Michael Orland was hosting it. And, of course, David was with us. So two of us, Lucy and David and I, Lucy and I wanted to sing David songs. And Lucy sang Help Us on the Way. And I sang We Live on Borrowed Time, which many of you have heard me do before. And that night I said, you know, life keeps shifting. None of us are getting younger. That doesn't mean we have to get old, but we're not getting younger. And so things that I never dreamt would happen in my lifetime, I thought what last year was biblical. I mean, the stuff that happened in the Bible. And so I said, you know, but if there's something you really want to do, do it. And do it now. Doesn't matter if you're afraid. Doesn't matter if you are terrified. Good friend of ours the other night at 65 made her one-woman cabaret debut. She wanted this so much. And I'll tell you, she wanted it so much that in 2018, she had put her show together. And she was kind enough. A good friend of hers was making her debut, and she didn't want to upstage her. So she put off her show till 2019. 2019, she got diagnosed with what would be considered a debilitating disease. And she had her surgery and everything, and there's not a sign of anything in her body. So she rebooked the show for spring of 2020. Well, we know what happened there. So all the clubs closed. She couldn't do it. And finally, this past Friday, she made her debut, and it was everything we could have hoped it would be. And it's like, okay, you just stay the course and keep planting the seeds of life. You don't talk about how the show can't happen. You don't talk about how, my sickness destroyed my body. You don't talk about all that, unless it's for a good learning example. You talk about life and life more abundant. You talk about love and love more abundant. You talk about intelligence and intelligence more abundant. You talk about power and power more abundant. What does Emily Cady say? That God is intelligence, omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. Yes, knowledge and knowledge more abundant. And so to keep affirming that alive and active, both in my body, in my relationships, in my home, in the world I live in, that all this exists, and it exists more abundantly. All that I want is here, and it is present, and no one is left out. No one is left out of the kingdom. All are invited in. What is that? Many are called, few are chosen. It's not that few are chosen by God. It's that few are choosing God. Very few, so few are choosing a life more abundantly. They have conditions on it. Well, I will choose God as long as these ones are punished and this one can't happen and this. And that's not choosing God. Choose for love and become totally willing that good, G-O-O-D, the good that has no opposite, prevail for all beings, no matter what they have done. Good is now the thing for all beings. Choose what you want today and go ahead and do it now. Let's listen to Leo. Thank you.
Oh, life is full of grief and pain and sadness, it is true. But if it's driving you insane, there's just one thing to do. You gotta send all your troubles out of sight. Live it up, live it up, live it up, live it up tonight. When I was just a little boy, my grandma used to say,
tomorrow takes care of itself, so just live for today.
She said, boy, you better do as you are told.
You better live it up now before you get too old.
The world is here just for the taking. Live in it, laugh in it, love in it. Do anything you wanna do. Cause life is just too short to waste. There's so much wine for you to taste. So why not sit back a while and have yourself a glass or two? If all your dreams have failed you and your plans have fallen through, your boyfriend's up and left you, and your wife has left you too, I tell you, everything's gonna be alright. If you go and live it up, live it up, live it up, live it up tonight. Let me tell you a little story. Oh, once there was a girl who was as good as she could be. She never sinned in any way, no, she lived perfectly. She said, I'm gonna wait for my reward. Gonna live it up when I go to meet the Lord.
Give it up when you meet the Lord. Gonna really give it up when you meet the Lord.
She sat and thought how happy she would be on Judgment Day. She sat and thought her whole life till she finally passed away. When she died, she said, I don't really care. Cause I'm gonna live it up, gonna live it up, gonna live it up there. She walked up to the pearly gates, said, here I am, let's begin. Let me in on all the fun that waits inside. St. Peter looked her in the eye, said, girl, I know you really tried, but too late now. You should have lived it up before you went and died. The moral of the story is as plain as it can be. So do yourself a favor and just take a tip from me. You can't depend on the future anyhow. So go and live it up, live it up, live it up.
I love that.